Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, my friend. Thank you for joining me. Representative Halsey Bashirs is with us here in the first hour of the show, and Honorable Mayor Andrew Gillum with us in the entire portion of the second hour, so you be sure to stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Here we go.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars, too. You're gonna love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
Here we are having ourselves a very hot and humid Saturday in Tallahassee. Gee, what a shock. We're hoping that things will cool off as we head into August. But that's okay. This is why we love the South. It reminds us that we're not living in North Dakota, I guess. And for that reason, the modern invention of air conditioning was created. Aren't we glad? And there you go. So things have gotten a bit hotter and heavier. And they are no less hot and heavy with city politics of late, city management particularly, in this proposed property tax that the commissioners there with the city of Tallahassee have passed on an initial vote. It goes up again in September for a final approval. I won't bore you with all of the details of that at the moment. Not that the details are themselves boring by any means, just that I figure you're much better read than I am, much better informed. And certainly there's no want for detail among all of those able writers in our community. From everywhere, from Steve Stewart over there at the, what is it called, the Tallahassee Reports, and then you've got, of course, the Tallahassee Democrat, and countless numbers of blogs and posters on things like Facebook and Twitter and all of that. Man, you cannot be involved or be in touch with any of these media outlets and not know that this is the topic o'day for Tallahassee. And in that regard, I mean, you know, this increase has been reduced a bit from its original proposed as they have cut budgetary items. Well, Mayor Gillum is here to help us better understand the impetus for such proposed increase in the tax base, property tax particularly. We'll talk about a lot of things, of course. There's a lot to talk about when it comes to Tallahassee and our place in the world and our emergence as a modern community alongside other communities that aspire to greater things, I think, that purport to offer enterprising entrepreneurs and innovators and cultural celebration type folks places to hold festivals and to start businesses and raise families. So of late, we've been designated among those top 10 in the country, an all-American city once again. But in the face of that, we'll talk with Mayor Gillum particularly about some of the things that seem to fly in the face of our all-Americanness. Or maybe it means that as an all-American city, we're no less impacted by violence or poverty or crime or a sense of disenfranchisement, we'll call it, disengagement, or what Richard Florida dubbed a segregated lifestyle. Segregation in that we are separated from one another in large groups demographically, economically. Our lifestyles tend to flow in different directions. And so we're going to ask the mayor to help us better understand what that really means and how we then are affected by it individually as well as we are corporately. How are we affected as a community when, you know, a third of our town doesn't live, work, or play with the other third? And there might be, you know, at least three-thirds. Can you have four-thirds? No, I guess you can't do that. There are segments of our community where you can live, work, and play and never go outside of those circles. You know, does that leave us vulnerable to the kinds of tragedies we've seen in this last couple of years in places like Ferguson, a disconnect, let's say, between law enforcement and its citizens, that is to say, Baltimore? How about those kinds of things happening in Tallahassee? Is that remotely possible? Could such a thing happen here? And if not, why not? So those are some of the things up ahead. We will have Mayor Gillum with us in the second hour. For my part, I'm just trying to stay in my lane here as I talk with our good friend, Representative Halsey Bashir. She's going to be with us here shortly. Talking about state government and the outcome of this year's Florida legislative session and his take on all of that that transpired, some of the players involved, some of the personalities involved. If you were with me here a couple of weeks ago, we talked with Representative Michelle Ray Winkle Vasalinda. And we got her perspective, which I thought was refreshing. I remember her saying that from her point of view, compromise is a marvelous thing. And some have wanted to consider compromise a weakening of our resolve. I think it can be said quite well that if America, in its contributions to the world, can be known for nothing else, and there's a lot to be known by or known for as an American culture, it is, in fact, this ability to compromise. It's what we deal most have done most brilliantly. And in those places, those times in our history where we've not, where that ability to compromise failed, we found ourselves in a tragic, horrible conflict. The most infamous of all, of course, the war among the states or between the states, the Civil War. If you've ever participated in discussions of that nature, Shelby Foote, before he died, it was part of Ken Burns' documentary about the Civil War, and it was a very poignant observation. He says, you know, our brilliance as a society has been our ability to compromise right from our very beginnings. I mean, among those 13 initial colonies and then states, there was disagreement from the get-go over everything. And those disagreements were resolved through compromise. But when we came to the point in which we had to decide, are we a union that will support and allow for and endorse slavery as an institution? Are we a society that will allow a portion of our country to be cut off from us? Are we a country in which we can find a workable solution in which everyone can participate in this American idea, regardless of gender and race and age? Well, and yet we had to fight for that in a way that exact a horrible, horrible toll. In times like these, folks, when we have people like Halsey Bashir and Mayor Andrew Gillum helping us engage the discussions that we conflict about, whether it's a flag, whether it's a lifestyle, if it's a place of origin, if it's our domestic investment, meaning are we immigrant? Are we native? Well, there again, the room for compromise is going to be to our advantage. So that is why we have these folks with us today. So we're going to talk further with each of them. And, of course, we have Miriam Dady with another guest with us in the Business Spotlight. She'll be coming up here right after this break. You stay with me. This portion of the show is brought to you by A Country Rose Florist. You can find them online at acountryroseflorist.com.
Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widden Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widden Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widden's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widden is known for taking care of business. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by Send Out Cards.
Good morning, Tallahassee. It's Miriam Dady once again with Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I have a guest that I just feel like all of the stars aligned and put us together this week, and she asked me about the radio program, which thrilled me because the more we spoke to one another, the more I wanted to feature her. Wanda Kane Harris is here with me today. Wanda, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I am thrilled because you are the kind of firecracker that just lights my fuse. And then we start an explosion in every direction. So we need to be contained. We only have a few minutes this morning, and I know you have so much to talk about. Wanda is a talented coach. She is an author. She is a mom. She has experiences and perspective that everybody is going to be interested in. What we're going to focus on today is Wanda's ministry and desire to coach and help women in our community, and it's called Edify Me.
Yes,
I love the name,
yes.
And I want to plug into it. And one of the features that you and I spoke about when we met was how to really help coach women of the military, probably on both sides of that fence, the ones that stay home and the ones that leave home, in how to shift their roles. So that's something I'm really curious about, and I want your perspective, both as a woman who's been through it and as a coach. Go.
All right. Well, thank you again for having me here.
Absolutely.
I'm very excited to be here. And it's interesting you said firecracker, because I'm an independence baby, born on 4th of July. And I think that has a lot to do with who I am. I have years of experience as a veteran, as well as a military spouse. My main roles at this point is mom and wife, and secondary a vetpreneur, as we call it, as well as a life coach.
Yeah.
And background-wise, I have experience as an educator and a trainer. So I use all that experience to reach out to women in my community to help them find their voice and their value. It's very important to me. It's a passion of mine. I find in those roles as a veteran and a wife myself, and shifting roles between being a veteran and supporting my husband, a service member, that there's a lot of back and forth in the roles, and I had to learn through my personal experience, my faith walk, mm-hmm. how to shift between those roles, how yeah. to be mom, wife, business person, career woman, friend, and so many roles that we have as women. Mm. And we often feel we don't do it well, but we do. Mm. If we give ourselves credit and we look back on all that we do, it's amazing the mm. roles we play. Mm-hmm. It is a challenge to make that shift from, often for us women, it's shifting from career to the home. Mm-hmm. And it goes back and forth. But what helps for me, and I speak primarily from a place of faith, is putting our trust in God, mm. first off, and for me, that's my belief. And second, being confident. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important. What I like teaching women is to find out who they are, mm. to take a minute to find their voice and their value again, because we're often spread thin,
yeah,
and we often guilt ourselves for maybe not being successful in all these areas. Mm. But if we take the time out to appreciate who we are, identify the gifts that we're individually given, and use those gifts to the best of our ability, we can feel comfortable in our own skin and then be able to share that with the world. And so I love helping women to find that, and it's a journey.
What kind of format do you use primarily? Is it workshops? Is it one-on-one coaching? How do you run Edify Me?
So first off, for me, I love building relationships. So mm-hmm. the first thing I do is I get to know people. I build relationship. I listen to their story, and then I listen for what they need. Mm-hmm. And I often am able to tell that person or see what that person's gift is or gifting is. And I just listen for them to say what it is they want to do. And we have big dreams. Mm-hmm. And somehow they get buried in all the responsibility, in all the roles that we play. And what we do through Edify Me, and a lot of it's done through one-on-one coaching as well as group coaching, is to help them identify their passion and then focus on that passion by separating themselves from so many things.
I hear you.
And honing in on that one thing and being okay with that.
Yeah. So you're giving women permission to flourish.
Absolutely.
Outside of facilitating everybody else's life, their children, their husband, their parents, all of the caregiving things that we're so apt to get absorbed by. So
absolutely.
that is really, really neat.
Yeah, it is.
What do you have on the horizon that people could plug into?
Well, in this fall, we have a few workshops that are coming up mm. that are designed just for that. And uh-huh. we have a workshop coming up called Time to Breathe, and it gives women an opportunity to have time for themselves individually, time for reflection, time for self-identification, time to clear the clutter. We also have a workshop coming up for women veterans that's designed to help those women that have these big dreams in their heart to find the resources and the support to go in that direction and do what they're longing to do.
Uh-huh. How do people find out about these?
My website is edifymenow.com. They can visit me there. I also have an email address, and welcome to visit me by sending an email. You can get a free empowerment guide that I offer. And my email address is the same. It's edifymenow@gmail.com.
I love it. Edify me now.
Now.
Calling out for that. I love that. Oh, my gosh. That is fantastic. I appreciate you being here, and I have a feeling that we're going to have to do a follow-up to this conversation, because we just don't have enough time to explore all that you do. But tell us your website one more time, Wanda.
Absolutely. It is edifymenow.com.
Thank you so much, Tallahassee, for listening in. I want you to get online and check out edifymenow.com. and see what Wanda has on the horizon for all of us to really explore and flourish what we've got inside. My name is Miriam Dady. I thank you for being here this Saturday morning, and keep an eye over your shoulder because Tallahassee Business Spotlight is going to be shining on you. Thanks so much.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Todd Cutlip, General Manager of Browning Moving and Logistics in Tallahassee.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we are back, and we have the very devoted and friend of Florida, Representative Halsey Bashir's District 7 for the House of Florida. Thank you, sir, for being with us. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Brian.
You're looking good and a heck of a lot more rested than you were a couple of months ago with our dearly beloved colleagues over there in the House and Senate and trying to get through the Florida session 2015. It was interesting, I have to say. I mean, you kept us all entertained.
Interesting is an understatement, I'll tell you what.
tell us in your summary of the legislative session for 2015, what sticks out in your mind? Well, I know you had some particular issues at stake with Panacea and such. We'll talk about that, but what was it like for you, I guess?
You know, I tell you what, this was, in my very short tenure, probably the most interesting and the biggest learning experience because at a state level, I realized that truly personalities can jam the system up. Huh. So, you know, and from a leadership standpoint.
Egos get in the way.
Yeah, egos certainly are a huge part of it. And so when you have that in leadership, and when they just can't seem to get along, you have what happened.
And from my faint observation, that came down to three of the senators, all within the Republican Party,
who
couldn't seem to get out of each other's way.
There's no need to name names, but it's frustrating when you see that. When you have that.
I think we all know who we're talking about anyway. Yeah.
And then from the House side, you know, I respect our leader, our House leader. Mm. The Speaker, I think he did a great job. He tried everything he could to keep the train on the tracks. And so we got to that point where he felt like there was nothing else they could do. Mm. Bills were being held hostage. Nothing was happening because, you know, the Senate had an idea of where it should have gone. And so, and that's not leadership. That's not compromise. Mm. You know you're doing a good job when everybody's a little bit upset with the end result. I tell you what, I don't get my way in my marriage all the time.
That's right. Yeah, I've talked to your wife. I understand.
there you go.
Hey.
And that's what good government is. You know, that's democracy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
you know, everybody pitches in, and then at the end of the day, you try and come up with the best for the citizens. And
We just could not
get there early.
Not an easy task.
No.
So by implication here, I gather that you think that some folks came to this session with their minds already made up, sort of thing. Don't confuse me with the facts. You know, they're going to run their agenda. But on your on the House side, I agree. I think Chris is a real world kind of guy. He had a background in business, right?
Yeah, Chris Cifulli. I mean, I'm not bashing the other chamber, Brian. Don't get me understood.
Oh, come on.
You misunderstood. But the thing is, because it's funny.
Let's get out there and have a good old fashioned.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, Senator Monfer and I share 9 counties out of the 10 that I represent.
Wow.
And I have one other senator in Lafayette County that I share with, and Senator Dean. Both great guys. But you know what? It just, we're different from where we're from. I always say that.
Yeah.
We know how to get along.
And you know what? Let's talk about that. You're a Jefferson County fella. Your family has some pretty deep roots over there, with no pun intended, because you're in the nursery business and all. And it seems to me that you, too, have come up through the ranks, out of that real world business owner. You're involved in several businesses, Bird Legs
Bicycles.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Which is, like, folks, if you don't know this, they're a cult. They're basically just these weird people who wish that somehow they had wheels instead of legs. But be that as it may, they spend an inordinate amount of time out there wheeling around on their bicycles. And so apparently Halsey is one of these converts. Somehow they sucked you into this years ago, right? And so
that's right.
You're not only a fan, you bought the business.
That's it. That's exactly right. But hey, I look at it as I'm just trying to make Tallahassee and our little slice of heaven here a little bit healthier at a time. Because there's two memories in my idea that people have in Florida the rest of their life. And we're selling memories. They remember in Florida usually when they first swam. And they remember when they first rode a bicycle.
Interesting.
And so I just want to be part of one of those. And the bicycle is like that. And everybody that comes in, that's not the racers. It's not the guys that shave their legs. You know, and I love those guys. But it's the families that come in and
that's
go,
true.
Hey, man, we're here to buy our first
that's
bike.
True.
And
that's true.
That's the good stuff.
I've probably painted you in a manner that is unkind and unrepresentative of the vast majority of those people who are bicycle enthusiasts. And I'm one of those people. I mean, I just have to make fun of guys who... You know, they bicycle to work and back. And I mean, come on. That's why we invented cars. I mean, just, you know, don't go away.
Hey, I laugh at our spandex too. Trust me, Brian.
You don't want to see me in spandex. I'm just telling you right now. Or a Speedo. Thank you very much. So we getting back to the point at hand, and that is that you in your endeavor, God help you, to represent those seven counties, including our friends in Wakulla County and the lovely people in Panacea, Florida, who, as I understand it, were trying to find themselves a little bit of traction, we'll say, in developing or in incorporating Panacea. So how did that all come about for you? Or how were you approached with that, I guess?
So I will tell you, my first year in session, my first year I was elected, there was a group that came up, said, hey, we'd like to get Panacea Incorporated. And, you know, they had been working on it for 3 years before that. And they had gone through, kind of jumped through the hoops. And we just could not get a bill heard in order to do that. And so the first year, we ran out of time. The second year, did everything right. We couldn't even get the bill heard. The third year, which was this year, I said, fellas, you know, I'll tell you what, ladies and gents, this has got to be by vote only. This has to be on the ballot for the people to decide. You can't shove this down anybody's throat. And so with that in mind, that was what originally got the bill moving. Because Republicans in general aren't for more government. And it was the thought was Panacea just wanted to be, they wanted to be masters of their own destiny. They want to take control and say, hey, look, as a city incorporated, there are a lot of things that we can do. Yeah. And so there was a lot of negative press out there that was talked about them. At the end of the day, my job, I felt like, was, hey, if it's by ballot, if the people are going to vote, how can you argue against that?
Right.
They've done everything they've been asked to do. They've done the feasibility studies, how they're going to pay for it. They've set up their government. And let's let the people decide down there on their own if they can do it. And it's not it wasn't my place to argue for it against it, and I never did. I stayed out of that and took a lot of heat for it. But
from whom?
Just from residents there in Wakulla County.
People who did not want this measure to go forward.
Yes.
Yeah. And the process involved sponsoring the bill in the House, and it went through some revisions, as it is supposed to do, went through committee, I guess, and then it made it past the money committee, the finance and tax, and the governor signed off, and then what happened?
Well, so then they had their special election in June. They had to get all their ballots straight as soon as the governor signed it. They went out there and they did a special election. They did a mail-out ballot only. That was the cheapest way for the supervisor of elections to do it down there, and I think he did a great job doing that. He tried to keep the cost down because the county had the task of fronting the money. And in the budget, we actually ended up putting money in there for special elections, so Wakulla County can apply and they'll get their money back. So we gave them all – we did – it was my job, I thought, to give them all the opportunity – so, hey, look, here's
point them
arguments.
In the right direction. Here's the door, guys.
Here's it. This is all I can do. And the people spoke, you know, and they voted it down. So, right or wrong.
By my understanding, by 20 votes.
Yeah, 20-something votes is what it was. So, and there's only 800 people down there in that city. Okay, so if I'm in business and I have an area in my business, this little target area, and Brian, you're managing that, and they say, hey, Halsey, look, I want to take over this area from you. I say, okay, what's up? We're bringing in $200,000 revenue. It's cost us $300,000 expenses. If I'm the boss, I'd go, heck yeah, I'll take that deal. Because really, at the end of the day, for Wakulla County, that could be a tax decrease.
Net
they were then
gain.
Taking in $800,000, but they only had $700,000 worth of expenses. So it was on Panacea to come up with that difference, say, hey, maybe we can manage it better. Maybe there's some synergies here that we can create because we are vested in it. We're going to find the way to fine-tune this. We're going to find the way to save a dime and a nickel, and we're going to find a way to try and help grow our area and help Wakulla County. So that was really the approach I took from it, and that was the approach I told several Republicans, and they went, okay, I get that.
That makes sense. Right, right.
So it's not about add more government. But it's, you know, it is what it is. And again, I can't argue with the people that voted it down. Good for them.
Yeah.
Hey, if you show up and vote, however it goes, you can't second guess that. So,
talking with Halsey Beshears, House Representative from District 7, our guest this morning, you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In business, time is money. And in times like these, money is tight. Every second counts. Downtime can be deadly. That's why Tallahassee business owners trust the good guys, Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. They keep business up and running hard with reliable, proven, first-time right service. Lighting, expansion, maintenance, replacement, repairs, and installations. Lawson & Lawson giving business owners and homeowners better solutions, too, with energy-efficient green ideas to help squeeze every penny. That's what business owners need, and that's why they call Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. And you should, too. Don't waste precious time. Trust the good guys at Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. Call 562-4111 or on the web at llelectrical.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Halsey Beshears, good friend of the show, good friend of Florida, and a good friend to all of you who live in District 7. And by the way, if you haven't looked at a map lately, you realize how much territory that is? No wonder the guy had to get himself a bicycle. He's killing himself out there. I mean, that covers, let's see, Wakulla, Liberty, Taylor. I know I'm leaving out the other seven, eight.
So we'll go west to east. You go Calhoun, Liberty, Gulf, Franklin. Then you have Wakulla County, southwest Leon County, basically.
Yeah.
And then on the east side, Jefferson, Taylor, Madison, Lafayette. It's the largest area district in the state.
It's astounding. Now, granted, you know, the population concentrations in those counties isn't quite what it might be, let's say, in Leon County, but then Leon County is different than the other 30 counties around it in that capacity. So these populations out there are distributed, we'll say, and largely rural or more agrarian. But for me personally, that is a characteristic of this North Florida area that we need to celebrate. You know, sometimes I wonder if our locals, and I mean some of the people here in Tallahassee proper, with EDC or the Chamber or KCCI, Town and Gown, they all have these marvelous, I think they're great objectives, stated goals. And to their credit, we've seen some great achievement economically, and I think culturally, socially. And so you can point to several of those that are immediately observable, and Cascades Park probably figures into that sizably. And there are other accomplishments, our city parks and such. But for me, and this is my point, that I think we have to get honest with where we really come from and where we're rooted. And that is an agrarian economy. And those are folks who go back, as your family does, several generations. And I mean, I've got friends whose grandparents are still fighting the Civil War. I mean, you can't talk about President Lincoln in their presence. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's this old sense of North Florida. And it seems to me that we need to appreciate it at the very least. And then I think we can actually learn from it and draw from it and incorporate that into how we do things now. I mean, when you've got a legislature where you've got some big egos getting in the way of progress, right? Well, it seems like we could learn a lesson from some of them old timers. You know, Governor Childs was famous for his ability to just sort of walk through. And he was a walker, wasn't he?
Yep.
You know, the he-coon, wasn't that his little handle? He was the guy who knew how to move. And there were several, and men and women, who in Florida's history have been part of that. I have a suspicion that you're one of those people. And I don't mean to embarrass you, but I really get the sense that you didn't walk in there with a hellfire kind of agenda, you know, brandishing, you know, your demands. Seems to me you've come at it with, how can I best connect this population of people with these people in positions of leadership?
You know, that I always thought that was the job of House District 7 representative. And so all my colleagues, I've challenged them, you know, the other guys, let's just call the other 100 that are south of here. I said, hey, you need to drive 25 miles in any direction of Tallahassee and you will see a different state. Mm-hmm. You know, you go 25 miles north and you're in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And so people wonder where the accents come from. Well, it's a blended accent right here. Mm-hmm. You go 25 miles west or east or south, it's a completely different state. Mm-hmm. And so my job, I've always felt, is to make my colleagues understand and have that resonate. Yes, we may be different, but you know what? We have values. We still do things a certain way. You know, we say what we say what we mean, and we mean what we say.
So
and
that's
a good thing.
Sort of a frankness.
Yeah.
In conversation that characterizes that old style.
And I'll be the first to tell you that my way isn't always the right way. Mm. And so I try and remind them, guess what? Your way isn't the right way either. Mm. And that's where you reach compromise. And I think that's where the success, what little bit of success I've had, comes from that.
Your colleague was here, Michelle Raywinkle Vasalinda, here a couple of weeks back, and echoed exactly that same sentiment that in our modern time, somehow the idea of compromise has become the byword of weakness, or, you know, somehow we've lessened our resolve, when in fact that is the art form of American government.
That's it.
We come to it, yeah.
And great leaders always find a way. So I'm very big on leadership, and I've studied it, and I read it, and I'm passionate for it, because end of the day, that's what makes the difference right there. When you have leaders that learn to do that, great leaders don't always get their way. They find a way to keep the machine going. They find a way to get everybody, hey, this may not be what you want personally, but this is better for the whole.
What's up ahead for you personally? And I mean that in every possible sense. You know, you're now in your second term of office, and you've said that you'll keep doing that until whenever they escort you from the building, I suppose, or when you finally realize.
I'm so thankful for term limits, Brian, trust me. And so I'm so appreciative of that, because no one should do this forever. But I just look at it as, when I got there, I'm on a clock for 2 years is all I get. And so it is a shame that actually some people are elected and go, hey, I'm going to wait till I'm a junior, I'm a senior to get things done. I'm just to sit back and watch the process. Yeah. Well, guess what? Life is too short. This moves too fast.
Yeah.
And you have to go out there and get it done.
Right.
And so I've taken that very personally and very serious.
Yeah.
So you asked me what's next. I don't know. I take it one election at a time.
Yeah.
I'm thankful I got to be a chairman this year. There was 21 guys in our class. Mm. Five of us got chairmanships. There were 67 juniors and seniors. Mm. And so I didn't go out and ask for it and wave my flag like you said. I'm just thankful the speaker goes, hey, man, this is a guy that gets it done.
Right, right. For those of us who are uneducated, how many terms are you limited to as a representative?
You get 4 2-year terms is all you get.
Yeah.
And you know what? And that's a gracious plenty for me.
Yeah, that's 8 years.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So your attitude is, look, man, if you can't get it done in 8, you might as well go play some other ball game.
I think so. Yeah, you know, but guess what? Not everybody's going to do that. Not everybody's going to get it done.
Right. Yeah.
But you just, my hat is off to everyone that goes and runs and gets elected, because it is hard.
It's a tough job, isn't it?
The hardest part is leaving your family. And so, and I live 30 minutes away, and I still don't get to see my family all the time.
So what's up ahead for Florida? Panacea, you want to try to keep that candle burning there? You think they need another shot at
incorporation? I don't think so. I think the voters have spoken. You know, that's for them to
let it go.
Let them be. So,
what else is up ahead for us? Where do we need to go, do you think?
I think North Florida is going to continue to evolve and develop. I think that as more people continue to move to the state, they realize they love this slice up here. They realize that North Florida is a different flavor than South Florida. And that's not bad. That's just what it is. When people say, "Where are you from?" and I say Monticello, Florida, and they go, "Where is that? Is it how far is it from Orlando or Miami?" I say it's a different world. But I think that as people realize these rural areas, they're starting to develop and people come here, we're going to have to continue to invest in education. We're going to have to continue to invest in infrastructure in order for us to grow in a way that the people who are from here, we can all live with it. And so there's a lot of people that are going to come here and they realize how great it is. Man, I don't want anything to change. You know what? I'm glad I'm here. And so let's not change a thing.
We're talking with Halsey Beshears. He is the House Representative for District 7 here in Florida and a good friend of this show and a good friend of yours truly. I appreciate your time, Representative Beshears. Thank you for your generosity with us. Try to make it possible, if you can, to get back here sooner so we
you
can
got it.
Keep
hey,
picking at you and find out what else is up ahead. Huh?
Thanks for the opportunity, Brian. Great seeing you, and I love the show, buddy.
Appreciate that. Folks, stay with me. Coming up here at the top of the hour, we've got ABC News. We'll be back with the second hour, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Sue Semrau, head coach of Florida State women's basketball team.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're back here in the second hour. Thank you for being with me in this lovely journey through the streets and neighborhoods and mental concourses of Tallahassee's current state of affairs, its future. It's what we do here, you know. We're trying to have a conversation, after all, with people like Halsey Beshears, who was with us here in the first hour. And coming up, we have Mayor Andrew Gillum, who has agreed to be with us graciously. Appreciate the Honorable Mayor for his contributions to the conversation. And we're going to talk about, of course, the proposed tax increase that has made it passed the first round among city commissioners. Some have objected and have considered it unwarranted and have pointed in the direction of personal motives among some of the commissioners, perhaps, or at least one in question. And then again, some have said, well, yeah, do we really need to increase the tax on business, on property and such, regardless, because isn't the problem really about spending and wasteful mismanagement of government? So we'll get the mayor to own up to some of those claims and hear from him as to his perspective. You know, it's often said about this show that we are known for our willingness to entertain a point of view, apart from the point of view that I might hold on any given topic. And that's really rooted in a kind of personal thing for me, because I like conversation. And I mean, whether it's people in my own family or friends of mine or associates that each have their own perspective on a given matter, I find myself better off in the long run for having at least entertained or listened, we'll say, listened to that point of view, considering where my point might be challenged, my attitude about a given topic, whatever that might be. And there's a lot of things we agree on, all of us. I mean, we can say that there's a lot among us that we find in common in this town and in this region. And I think because that's the case, we find ourselves committed even more strongly to this way of life that we are fashioning for ourselves. I think that our part in this process, that process, is to be a radio show where you can expect to have conversations with people who are part of that in a very public way, and sometimes not so noticeable, people who might be behind the scenes that you might not yet have met personally or might not have heard from in any other capacity or other venue, right? So we try to find those folks who can bring to us that perspective that we might be missing. And so it is that we have the mayor helping us think through some of those things that, while he is well in view of all of us, might be in touch with people who himself has met, and he'll bring stories of his travels about, and some of those people that that you and I haven't gotten to know, but he has. And what has he learned as he's listened to those people? I mean, to me, that's sort of the role of leadership, isn't it? Isn't it really? Especially in the matter of administering government, where you really want people who are in those positions of leadership to have contact, have be in touch with all kinds of folks, as many as possible. So we're committed to that here. That's why this show continues, because we think having a conversation about all kinds of stuff is really important to us discovering better why we should do what we do. What are we doing this for, right? What are we working so hard for? You know, I mean, some of us have to ask ourselves that question a lot because we're working pretty hard. But I think we all deserve to ask the question, and maybe we help you find an answer. You know, why do you care? Or why don't you care, you know? Well, I care personally about you having good information in front of you. And so as I look at some of the news stories from the week, a couple of things caught my attention. We've had our share of crime. This suspect that was killed during a home break-in, that hit the news. And then we had a Walmart that was robbed, and they caught that guy. We've also had... this lovely young lady, Roseanne Wood, has decided to run for school board, the Leon County School Board, and her campaign kicked off earlier this week. She, for her part, is a retired high school principal, 36 years of experience in Leon County schools. So she's filed for the District 2 seat, which is currently occupied by Dee Crumpler. He has decided to not run again. So we have that to look forward to in terms of the Leon County School Board, right along with our friend Scott Maddox running for Leon County School Superintendent. And by the way, on that score, it was announced earlier that this attorney that was hired out of Jacksonville to provide the school board with a report on its activities having to do with the allocation of funds related to projects, right? And the project bidding process that was under scrutiny for having not complied with state law, right? So this report was filed earlier in the week, 200 pages worth of analysis. And the report found that the district did not always pick construction managers hired to oversee major school projects according to state law. He further noted that the $2 million threshold, which applies to continuing contracts, which the district didn't have in place at the time, because there were no continuing contracts. Okay. So if you go further through this, you find out that the Florida Auditor General had found that the district did not follow a competitive selection process. And so that's what has given rise to the investigation. Well, the outcome of having filed a report was that the school board said, nah, we don't have any questions at this time, which I read as, Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll get back to you about this. We don't really want to talk about this right now. Okay. Well, guys, you're going to have to talk about it at some point. So you better get your questions in order. And they are on a short notice. They've got to have that done by, I think, within the next couple of weeks. They have to submit questions that they have regarding this 200-page report. Folks, that's what's going on around town. You know, we've got some fun activities for you as well. And I wanted to tell you what else is going on. Clogging with the Red Hills Cloggers. Let's see, that happens on Monday, this coming Monday, at St. Paul's United Methodist Church. Oh, and the Florida Historic Capital Museum, they have this Driving Florida's Image sort of an installment there at the Florida Historic Capital Museum. Back in 1985, they had this contest for license plates. So if you're really looking for something thrilling, take the kids over to the Florida Historic Capital Museum and show them license plates that were submitted as part of this contest back in 1985. I thought it was kind of amusing. Look, it's a cheap date, okay? So you're talking to the king of cheap here. So there you go. Folks, trying to keep you engaged with all of the good things going on around this town. You stay with me. We've got Mayor Gillum coming in right after this.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talk.
So we are here with his honorable, the one and only Mayor Gillum for Tallahassee, the city of. Andrew Gillum, you are a person who, it seems to me, arrives on the stage at a fortuitous time in our history as a city, and it's our pleasure to welcome you in that context. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic, thank you for being Brian, nice. And thank you for having me, and I hope for the rest of our conversation, I'll just be Andrew.
No.
No?
No, you're much more
respectable
and dignified than that. But thank you for that courtesy.
Of course, man.
Just to get some of this out of the way, when you were a little kid, did you want to be the mayor of Tallahassee?
No, I didn't. When I was a little kid, I actually thought I was going to grow up to become a lawyer. That was after I had determined I was going to be a pediatrician, and I had it was Empty Nest. I don't know if you remember that show, long time ago. Empty Nest, and he had a cool house in Miami, which is where I lived at the time. And his neighborhood was different than mine, kind of cool. Huh. And so I thought I'd be a pediatrician so I could live in a neighborhood like that, in a house
very
like that.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. And we do that, don't we? We ask our kids, what do you want to be when you grow up?
That's right.
But you didn't say, well, I want to be the mayor of an emerging city in the South and, you know, the capital of the third largest state in the union.
None
of that occurred. I asked Ann Scott that. I said, do you ever imagine
first lady?
Yeah. Did you ever imagine being the first lady of Florida when you were a kid? She said, are you kidding? Yeah. I wasn't thinking that 5 years ago.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, and in their case, for sure. I get it.
How did this happen? And she begged him, please don't ask me to give speeches.
Oh,
I'm terrified of speaking in public. it's not working out so well for the First Lady. But you seem to be quite comfortable in this role. How do you account for that? You seem to really like people.
Which, I do.
Which bothers me.
Uh-oh. Okay. I do. I love people. I mean, I grew up in a house, you know, with 7 kids, all boys, 1 girl. I'm number 5. So not liking people would not have worked out, you know, very well in my
survival.
House.
Survival.
Yeah, it's definitely survival. And nor could you be a slow eater because you might miss out on the meal. We would even now. My wife
Mama
tells
never
me
told
to slow
down.
No. She tells me to slow down now because there's plenty more. But it's you know, I never realized how much that those patterns you pick up as a kid actually kind of sustain.
So your wife gets on you.
Yeah, like slow down. It's not going anywhere. But yeah, you built that habit. You ate quick if you wanted seconds.
Well, gratefully, your family has offered us a great view of the Tallahassee family in this time, and you're on the cover of I think every magazine that I've picked up, or several anyway. Tallahassee Family Magazine and Tallahassee Magazine.
Generous.
Funny because Brian DeLoge was here a couple weeks ago, and he saw the magazine. He's on every magazine. What is with this guy?
Brian is on every mountaintop. I don't get that lifestyle either. I think he's in Hawaii right now. Okay, we're sitting here sweltering Tallahassee.
Good for
so
you. I cut him no slack. I mean, it's
not
like,
at all.
I said, do you ever do any work?
Yeah, right.
Are you ever in Tallahassee?
No.
And he says, you know, my wife asked me that. And he says, what am I going to do? Post photos of the last committee meeting that
yes.
I just came out of?
Yes. Let me know. At least we live a similar lifestyle.
Oh, man.
No, but I love Brian, and I'm so proud of the work he's doing with the Association of Counties.
Well, let's talk about county and city for a second, since we've segued that way. You know, he was gleeful when he talked about how the county has been able to balance their budget. You know, and
they had an increase just a few short years
they
ago.
They did,
sure.
You know, and I quickly reminded him. And here we are at this juncture looking at city management and the budget and the proposed property tax increase. What's your take on all that?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're, you know, just dealing in the city's perspective here, are confronting some really difficult challenges in our community. And it wouldn't be foreign to any of your listeners. They read the paper. They listen to you. They know what sort of crime statistics we're facing in this community. And I'll just say before expressing my support for the chief's request that not for a moment do I believe the hiring of new officers is going to in and of itself solve the problem of reducing crime and violent crime in our community, because the layers of circumstances that coincide to produce a community where that kind of desperation and where that kind of inequality and lack of opportunity and violent culture, for that to exist, there are a lot of conditions that have to come together to create that. And so addressing it from a law enforcement perspective alone will not do it. Mm. That being said, we have a desire, and our chief of police has a desire to see us become a community policing department, where if you live in Frenchtown or in South City or the north end of this community, that you can return to the days of old where you had a relationship and knew who the officers were that were patrolling your area. Mm-hmm. They knew you by name. They knew who the Crime Stoppers were. They knew who Ms. Jenkins was, who sat on the front porch and called in anytime she saw something that went awry. And unfortunately, our community does not have that luxury anymore. And part of the reason why we don't have that luxury has to do with the real demand that we have on our existing law enforcement capacity that has them now responding to calls about 80% of the time that they're on the job. Now, a community policing department, by standards of the police association and accrediting institutions, say that the real ratio ought to be about 50% of an officer's time ought to be spent responding to calls, doing the paperwork associated with those calls, but basically in response mode. The other 50% of the time ought to be spent patrolling areas, either in car or on bike, stopping at the bodegas or the gas stations in the neighborhood, going by to visit Ms. Jenkins to see what she knows what she's heard, or just to say, how you doing? That 50% of the time is what builds trust. It builds relationships. It helps young people see who are growing up in these neighborhoods, a law enforcement officer outside of a terrible incident or a response to a terrible crime. And that's important for building real capacity in our community.
Does that in some way speak to the tragedies we've seen in Baltimore and Ferguson
for sure.
and those places? Huh?
For sure. And we've been fortunate that we haven't had an eruption in our community in the way that those communities have responded. But we've had 10 police-involved shootings in the last few years, in the last year and a half, to be specific. If that had been any of those other communities, and we can say this without sounding alarmist, it could have been pretty bad for a community like ours. Yeah. Absolutely. There's no difference between those communities
really
and ours.
And that potential relies in our lack of attention to the issue, you think?
Well, I mean, the potential happens because there's very little that divides our community here in Tallahassee from those communities, except I would say I think we've tried to do a really good job with our social service institutions, our faith institutions. Our police department, our chief of police, has a pattern of calling those individuals on the phone anytime an officer-involved shooting or a shooting in our community happens. So we try to do our very best to bring those folks along so it never gets to the point where it's a them and an us.
I got you.
But that doesn't satisfy it because there is still that mentality of a them and an us. It just hasn't happened at the level that we've seen in other communities across the country.
Talking with Mayor Andrew Gillum here, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Kathy Griffin, president of Widden Glass.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Mayor Andrew Gillum has joined us. We are in discussion of some of the hottest topics of our day, are we not? Having nothing to do with heat waves and humidity. This all has to do.
Although we could talk about that too.
We could easily go there. But here we have this proposed property tax that thus far has made it passed the city commission on its first round. There have been a couple of dissenting votes.
Sure.
Why do you think Scott decided to say, no, we shouldn't do this?
Given the constrained resources, to me, it's a bigger priority to put our need for the resources that our police department have identified to include body cameras as a part of this budget, and you couldn't have it all. I think in Scott's case, I think he has stated that he is philosophically opposed to taxes.
He was here about a month ago.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I'm a fiscal conservative.
Okay.
And I just, you know, want to not spend money if I don't have to.
Yeah, well.
And I don't want to tax people if I don't have to.
But you have to draw that to its logical conclusion, which is if you can't raise revenue, then you also shouldn't spend, right? Mm-hmm. You shouldn't load up the budget. You shouldn't add projects. It ought to be a maintenance budget. Mm-hmm. And so my issue is we can't agree to to the various concessions in our bargaining position with police and then not choose to fund that. Mm-hmm. I expressed this in a public meeting, and I still share this frustration today. When I first got on the city commission, the last thing I wanted to do was to have to take a vote on tax increases. Mm-hmm. But because of the budget situation that was passed on to me, that we inherited, which were a hiring of new officers, which I'm sure were necessary, as well as a very, you know, I thought, you know, generous package at that time to our law enforcement workers. That was done by the commission that preceded me, but they didn't decide to fund it all the way through. And so the first meetings we end up having in 2014 is with a manager and the budget staff coming to us and saying, look, we've got to pay for these positions and we need to raise the budget by half mil. Excuse me? Are you kidding me? I have priorities of my own. There are things that I went out on the campaign trail that people elected me here to bring those priorities into the government. And what about those priorities? Well, I didn't get that opportunity to accelerate my agenda in that way that I was elected on. I had to cast a vote to pay for
the budget decisions of a commission before me. And I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair because I'm sensitive to that, because it hit me when I first got there. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to put another decision-making body in that very same position. We try to run a lean government. We, by and large, have a pretty low tax rate at the city, at the municipal level. Mm-hmm. For a long time, I mean, most people probably couldn't tell you how much they pay in city taxes, because when we get our tax bill, it's a consolidated bill that has the school board, the county, and all these other taxing authorities on there. All I can tell you is what the total amount is that mm-hmm. I pay mm-hmm. in taxes. I don't break it out in that way. Mm-hmm. And so, but I think if people were to pull back the layers to understand what they pay with regard to city taxes, they would be surprised to know that the taxes that we collect in ad valorem taxes are not enough to pay for our police department. Mm-hmm. I get emails that say, police ought to be the first thing we pay for. It is your primary responsibility. And I say, yes, it's our first, our second, and our third. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. we don't collect enough in property taxes to pay for not even the first layer of that. Right. Mm. And so if it is our priority to make sure that safety and security is a number one priority, then let's be true to that all the way through. And in order to meet those obligations, according to our budget staff, our manager and our chief of police, they need we've got to generate and pay for somehow the new $7.5 million that's been put on the table here.
Commissioner Mark Mustian was with us, I think, last week or the week before last, talked about his 9 years he was on the city council, talked about the revenue base for the city of Tallahassee and pointed out that, you know, the utilities alone constitutes a significant amount of the revenues the city has to work with.
That's right.
So what do you want to do? You want to raise your utility rates, or do you want to raise property rates?
Yeah.
Now, those who have been critical of the increase are saying, well, it's just waste in government. You guys need to tighten the belt, and you need to revamp this. So budget adjustments were made. And then we had some people that seemed to me got off onto this kind of personal thing between Steve Stewart and Commissioner Miller. I'm like,
I'm always in those crosshairs, too. Don't forget about me.
Yeah, what does that have to do with the real matter here? I mean,
I wish we could keep it on the facts of the matter. Mm. And while none of us, including myself, because I'm a homeowner and a taxpayer, I've got two new, you know, kids in my life, and there are child care bills that are associated with that. None of us just have money flowing out of our ears that we want to give more. Mm. But if you made the case to me that the collections that you take off me for my city taxes don't pay for police law enforcement, which, again, I would argue is a primary function and concern of city government, I would be willing to pay a little bit more to ensure that the service that I get is also the service that I pay for.
Right.
You know, we do live in a really great community, and by and large, a community that has run its business side in a pretty effective and I think strategic and smart way, such that when other communities were having to make major decisions to pay, budgetary decisions and taxing decisions to pay for their pensions, we were sitting at a pension that was almost 100% funded, right? And so we didn't have to run our community through that routine of the house is on fire, it's about to burn down, you know, rush to, you know, to the tax base to sort of fix the problem.
And there
because
are municipalities that are currently
absolutely
facing bankruptcy
all over the state of Florida, but all over this country. Yeah. And I think what our responsibility is to make sure that we don't leave this government, this community, in a lurch when our time is done. I still have a commitment of service to this community. But even if I were in Scott's position, where I was looking to leave the government in a year, you know, for you know, higher heights.
Right.
I have to believe, and I have to believe and give him the benefit of the doubt that he would believe that we ought to leave this government better than what we found it if we have that opportunity, if we're in that position.
Do you think we're doing that? Have we made progress with all of the investment in infrastructure?
Yeah.
I meet people who say that they don't know what Cascades Park is and don't care.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think?
Well, that's a lot to unpack, but I will tell you by and large,
I have 20 seconds. Go ahead.
I am. Thank you. Generous with your time. I am 100% in favor of the kind of transformation that we're trying to cause in this community. when I first joined the city commission, the city was pretty much divided by downtown and then the rest of the city. Yeah. We didn't refer to Midtown. We didn't have a G Street. We didn't have a Cascades Park that we could celebrate. A downtown, a northeast side of this community that we're trying to build up so that these are places of destination, our gathering places.
Market district.
Absolutely. Yep. Market district being the north end of our city. And people who are retiring and are also young professionals coming off of our college campuses are making decisions about where they're going to live, where they're going to set up shop, where they're going to start their businesses, where they're going to retire based on the quality of life that they can expect in the cities that they choose to relocate. Okay? So those are important decisions for us if we're talking about growing up, if we're talking about being a community that people choose to locate. And I mean not just those who grow up here or happen to find themselves here because they came to FAMU, FSU, TCC and stumbled on an opportunity and didn't decide to leave. I want people who want to start businesses in this community like we're doing down at Domey Station to make the choice that Tallahassee is a place that they can choose to lay down some roots, you know, get married, grow a family, contribute to our tax base and help to diversify our economy. And you don't get there by being status quo. You don't get there by saying we're the best that we're ever going to be. Let's back away from it. No, you get there by making risk, by making tough choices to jumpstart a Gain Street renovation. That $20 million of public sector money we put into there has now spawned into over $400 million in private sector investments.
Wow.
That can't be a bad deal. Wow. And I don't know who would look at that and say it's a bad deal. Mm-hmm. Cascades Park, the transition of the FSU property that is now in city and county hands that will, if I had my druthers, will bring residential housing and mixed-use development around Cascades Park that will infuse more population into our urban core, reducing our need to spend money in urban sprawl. That's good for the community. It's good for the tax base. It's good for the taxpayer. And it's absolutely good for the type of community that we're trying to build. People have criticized our moving toward an international designation. Yeah, international to where? And I would argue that that's short-sightedness. While I get the concern around the pedestrian passenger traffic, we want to get to the point where we are moving people through our airport more cheaply and into destination places that they want to ultimately end up. But by the same token, there is a recipe to getting there. And unfortunately, we have tried the holding $1 million a year out there to bring a liner in into this community. And the moment that $1 million were up, they were out of here. And so the new formula requires us to look at what are the enterprising opportunities. And so the international designation is more about us being able to bring freight through this community. Our strategic alignment along I-10 with the Panama Canal dredging, with the dredging down in South Florida, the international commerce that will make its way into the southern hemisphere of the United States versus through San Francisco and through the Asian markets coming into California, there are great opportunities in its communities that are thinking about their place in the future of that that are going to be ahead. And I think those are the kinds of steps that we're taking here in Tallahassee to be on the cutting edge so that we can take advantage of those opportunities, those global opportunities that are coming into this hemisphere.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, talking with his honor.
Andrew.
Okay. All right. I was just testing you. I was just checking. Mayor Gillum is with us, folks. You stay with me. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. I'm Jerry Thigpen, blues guitar player here in Tallahassee, coming at you for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on 93.
So here we are. If you've just joined us, shame on you. Where have you been? Because we've got Mayor Gillum with us, who, as he has insisted, Andrew, our guest this morning, who is the mayor of Tallahassee and the people's mayor, I think it would be fair to say. By all accounts, he's made himself available, put himself on and his family on the cover of a couple of magazines, and he shows up at all the meetings. And it seems to me, Andrew, you're the kind of guy we could see at the grocery store, and you'd probably forget why you were there and just spend the rest of the hour talking.
RJ does not like to send me to the grocery store.
No, imagine not.
So that milk and the eggs
just never happens. Did you ever buy the things?
No,
I didn't
worry. That cornbread never gets made.
But I met this really cool guy.
Exactly.
And we talked for four hours.
Exactly.
Right, sorry.
Exactly, man.
Well, I will not contribute any further to your demise in that capacity. I want us to stay on track here. Is the opportunity to enlist the vast majority, that 80%,
that's right,
that go unheard, why they should care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, that's, it's so poignant. I was just having lunch yesterday with a rather affluent lawyer and his wife, who comes from a long, long, long political history in this state. And I was describing to them, talking about the tax increase, describing to them the diversity of the lived experience right here in our city. Yeah. And what I mean by that is we were away at the All-America City competition.
Congratulations, and
thank
by
you.
The way.
Yes, it's a good credit to our community. But one of the
Michelle Bona asked me to say that.
So yeah, is that right? Good, good, good. But the was speaking with two gentlemen who had from DYG, distinguished young gentlemen who had took the bus from Tallahassee all
remarkable
the way to
story.
Denver. Yeah,
we need to get them on the show.
Yeah, really, right? they're yeah. a great two guys who were yeah. so articulate, so smart. They were part of the presentation. They were twins. Mm. And I asked them, how did they rest? This was the day after they arrived. I said, y'all rest well. I said, rested good. We slept in a bed. And I said, what do you mean you slept in a bed? And they said, oh, you know, our mama don't let us sleep in the bed at home. I said, what do you mean? You know, say a little bit more about that. He said, she doesn't let us sleep in the bed at home because she's afraid that she might wake up and one of us might have gotten shot overnight. And I said, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? From a stray bullet because of the neighborhood that they live in. Now, I have to tell you, you know, my office is on the South Side. I go to church on the South Side. I spend a lot of community service time. But my wife and my kids and I, we live in the north end of town off of Cary Forest Parkway. And a nice neighborhood, and I tell you, that isn't our concern at night. And frankly, I have to tell you, I was a little bit shocked that that would be anybody's concern in the city. Despite some of the crime issues that we've dealt with, by and large, they have been a victim and a perpetrator who have known each other. And I'm not right. trying to excuse right. my way out of it, but
now,
there is
something else.
There's a way that you deal with that. There's a way that right. you can process that.
Right.
It's very different for innocent folks who are doing nothing but sleeping in the comforts of their own home to not be able to
and
sleep
in
a
in
bed.
Fear. Yeah.
Living because mama is worried about a stray bullet coming through the door and snuffing out the life of one of her children. And so when I shared that with the folks I was having lunch with, they were as aghast as I was when I first heard it, because we can't conceptualize that in our little Tallahassee, mm-hmm. right? You're talking about folks who have had generations of family members in this city grow up, contribute to this city, who are baffled that anyone who lives in their dear Tallahassee could have that kind of an experience. And so what we have to do is we've got to update the narrative about our community and where we live. Yes, we're a great city, but we're also a city that is enduring their own sets of growing pains and challenges.
You know, in that context, when you read the research from Richard Florida, and he talks about
that's
segregated
right.
city.
That's right.
And then comes the research about income immobility in
that's
Leon
right,
County.
That's right, for kids.
And then you have public leaders saying, oh, the research was flawed. Hold yeah. on a second
yeah.
now. I think there's something to be learned. And your recalling of this anecdote
absolutely.
Tells us, folks, there is a separation.
Huge.
You can call it what you want to, but if
huge.
your mind doesn't grasp, there is a very different
absolutely.
Way of living from one part of this town to the other.
Absolutely.
You are living in denial.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have to tell you, I don't think it is because people don't want to know, but they're getting up, they're going to work, they're dropping their kids
right.
off at daycare, they're picking them up, they may go out to dinner
yep.
you know, once a week on a weekend. People are involved in their own lives,
every
right?
day.
I mean,
right.
they're living their
right.
everyday lives.
Right.
But what we have to be curious about, particularly when we decide to judge a budget line item going here or
yeah.
going there, or
yeah.
why would we make this decision down at City Hall? It's because we are trying to bring together an amalgamation of a lot of different experiences
yeah.
that people have right here in this very singular city.
Yeah.
And there is not a singular solution. And while I wish everybody came from a two-parent household and woke up in a household and in a family where the mother or the father says, I expect great things from you, and that they could count on that family member holding them accountable to deliver on those great things, that's not the true experience of everybody in our city. And rather than sitting in judgment, I would challenge us to be, one, curious about other people's experiences, but two, to be willing to trust that their experience is different than yours, and that they want the very same thing that you want for yourselves and for your families, and that is the very, very best for your child, the very, very best. I don't believe that there's a parent who wants worse, and if there is, they're an anomaly. Mm. But so often we find ourselves sitting in judgment that it's their fault, mm. and it's because they didn't do that thing. I'll give you one other example. I participated in this thing called it's sort of like an honesty walk, right. where the facilitator called out a number of questions. And every one of the questions, you would either take a step forward or a step back, depending upon how it applied to you. And at the end of that scenario, you got a real sense of where people were lined up in the room. And based off those questions, it gave you a sense of the fact that everyone doesn't start the same. And the reason why the questions were posed, every one of the questions had nothing to do with an action you took. It had to do with a situation or circumstances you were born into. Mm. And it was very helpful because it helped me to realize that on the day that I woke up, this was my positioning. And on the day that that guy woke up, that was his positioning. Mm. And so I can't be so simplistic to say, why didn't you do better or apply yourself in that way or do this thing and that thing for you to get where I am. I got to recognize that there's a gap. There's a void. There's a gap that exists there. And while you can put forth your very best effort, that there are some situations and circumstances that you could not control about yourself or where you may have ended up. The good news is that each of us do have the ability to exhibit choice in our own lives about what we're going to do, how we're going to apply ourselves, what choices we're going to make to put ourselves in the best positions for success. That's the good news. Mm. But the bad news is that there are some folks who on day one, when they're born into this world, are born into certain conditions that set them on a trajectory that it is very, very, very difficult to shake, but for being the most persistent, the most helped, the most supported along that walk. And that's an experience I think we all have to get in touch with a little bit more, rather than sitting in a place of judgment, being curious about the fact that somebody doesn't have it the same way you do.
Folks, we are flat out of time, and it breaks my heart because this is a guy we need to keep around us. So we're only going to let you leave with a pledge that
I'll be back. If you will have me, I will be back. Absolutely.
We will continue this conversation. I know there's some other people in your life that are going to need you for a little while. But we're staking our claim here. Folks, Mayor Andrew Gillum, who graciously gave us a good deal of his time here this morning, hope you've enjoyed it. I certainly have learned a bit along the way in this conversation. It's what we like to do here with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising, based right here in Tallahassee. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. We'll be looking for you next Saturday morning right here at 9 o'clock. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk with me.
Hey, we're checking in with Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man, how you guys doing today? It's an awesome setup here at Truck and Car Concepts. You come in here, it's your one-stop shop. You can get it all taken care of. Window tinting, pinstriping, graphics, you name it, Truck and Car Concepts does it. And we've also got those bolt-on accessories that make the truck look nice. We've got grill guards, we've got brush guards, stainless steel Nerf bars, lifetime warranty on those. And again, the spray-in bed liner is going to make it worth your while.
Talking about putting a few of these things on there, and you're going to increase the value of that vehicle.
Well, you will, and not only are you going to do that, but you're going to make it look nice. It's going to customize it for your own personality and your own wants and needs. Some guys like it jacked up. We also do lowering kits.
There's only one place in town that's going to be able to truck it up then.
That's right. That's Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts. One block east of Weems Road on Mahan Drive, across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800. Come on, say it with me. 656-8800. 800.